Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, Daddy, for spending $300 fucking dollars on me.
Time is taking its life. Now we have to tell if it's worth the fight.
Hello and welcome to a Wednesday edition of The Conversation, folks. Hard to believe it's Wednesday. If you didn't know, on Mondays now I'm doing a Conversation Campfire Revival, so check that out. That is amazing. That's on my Facebook page. I'll go to the campfire, go to the Patriot Academy and check out the Conversation Campfire Revival and sign up. It's a good time. But I'm going to get into two men who have been charged in the worst fraternity hazing injury incident ever at the University of Missouri, and one of the worst I've ever heard of. Twitter's board of directors have unanimously approved SpaceX and Tesla CEO's Elon Musk bid to take over the company for $44 billion, so we'll see. There's still some issues with that have never been resolved, but they say they're okay with that, but I want to get into that. I want to get into so much, folks. Store shelves are starting to be barren. I've seen a couple videos that show like where people are asking, like, where is it where you live? Like some places they have like no oatmeal, and like detergent and paper plates are going bye-bye. A blaze destroys a Texas church, but the only thing standing is a cross. There's like nothing, that church is decimated. But a cross stands. Speaks volumes. Trust in Christ. You know, like less than 10% of the people care about this January 6th committee thing, this hearing thing, but you know, Stephen Colbert helps with Shifty Shift, a plan, you know, a plan Q to go into the Capitol and tell you like a January 6th skit, and oh, no one cares about that. Bayhart. The GOP has become the party of insurrection, revolt, and while these billionaires are trying to worry about this insurrection bullcrap that no one cares about because you can't afford gas, you can't afford food, store shelves are practically empty, but, oh, then you have, like, Wopal, you know, the Washington Post. Oh, Lord help us, man. Guess what, folks? I don't know anyone. Inflation, whatever. Yeah, because you probably ain't paying for anything. You got this is how bad liberals are. Harlem Democrat who wants police defunded moved to wealthy neighborhood after being robbed. She wants to defund the police. She gets robbed. All these people that want, like, you need to defund the police. See, what they aren't telling you is they want a military-style police so that when the military-style police gets a butt in there, okay, when the president says, you follow. But you know, it's like all these people that we need to take away everyone's guns, but then they're surrounded by, like, protection, and the people that protect them have guns. It makes no sense. So much to get into, folks. But here's this.
Hello, brothers and sisters. It is Pastor Jerry Flowers, and I am honored to serve you today's verse of the day. It comes from Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, where the text tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So in other words, this means the enrollment center of us gaining wisdom is when we have a reverential posture towards God. In this context, the word fear means reverence, respect, and even having a terror. Not a terror of crippling fright, but rather a reverential fear of knowing that the all-seeing eyes of God are everywhere, beholding the evil and the good. So those who live a lifestyle of continual reverence towards God understand two things. Number one, we have had a revelation of knowing who he is due to intentional intimacy, which is why the text tells us that knowing the Holy One is understanding. It brings understanding. I stand under principles due to my intentional intimacy with God. I stand under the principle of reverence because principles help us conquer principalities. I can't operate in an authority that I'm first not under. And secondly, it's just knowing God sees me. I'm not getting away with anything. God sees me. And when we live life like that, that is wisdom. And the beauty of wisdom is it helps us skip unnecessary seasons. Wisdom helps us skip unnecessary seasons because ignorance builds walls, but wisdom builds doors. And it is wisdom when we have a fear of our God because we know who he is and we have a reverence towards him because we have understanding of the Holy One. Have a wonderful day.
That's your verse of the day. Thank you so much for tuning in wherever you are around the world. I'm going to get into this because I remember when I went to college for a little bit before I went to culinary school, we had we had all kinds of, you know, basic hazing, you know, like, okay, they would drive you somewhere and drop you off and have you come back. And this past Friday, a grand jury in Boone County, Missouri, indicted Ryan Patrick Delenti, age 20, and Thomas Andrew Schultz, age 21, for alleged felony hazing of a 19-year-old freshman, Daniel Saluti, who has been left blind, speechless, and immobile as a result of his injuries. The pair were also charged with misdemeanor offense of supplying liquor to a minor or intoxicated person. Schultz faces felony charges for tampering with physical evidence. Centrulli's parents, Thomas and Mary Pat, have also sued the fraternity Phi Gamma Delta, the owner of the house where the hazing occurred. The 23 fraternity members, according to Fox News, all parties have already settled out of court. Except for, like, I think two members. It's the worst fraternity hazing injury ever in the United States, from what we're told. From the family's attorney, David Baracci, told the St. Louis Dispatch, I've been doing these cases for 30 years, and I know the landscape of hazing. I know the defense lawyers who defend the fraternities, and everyone agrees this is the worst ever. A kid is blind and immobile and speechless now. He was calling his sister crying, and she's like, you need to, that was God right there saying, his sister, no, you need to stun, leave. Ain't nothing. With your life. For the rest of their lives, those kids are going to have to deal with what they, I hope they see that kid's face every single solitary day for what they've done. The fraternity's done. I mean, I don't know if it's going to, I know it's not a part of the university anymore. They're off campus. And all those fraternity members settle it. Well, hey, you should have, I mean, think about it. Why didn't you speak? I don't want to, no, you need to stand up and say, I don't care. There's hazing and there's having fun and there's going way too far. But when they, I don't know, man. I got to be in this fraternity. I got to do this. I got to do that. For what? I don't get it. I don't understand. I remember when I was at university, there were guys that I was taking like biology, and they have like a test, and you fill out this answer sheet, and you can do the Scantron. And then you fill out the answer sheet. When you turn the Scantron, at the end of the test, they have an answer thing so you can see how well you did. And somebody quick took the test, turned it in, then went down and they were through like a wireless system feeding this dude. And he had like a earbud kind of thing. This was in the 90s. Never had it at all. And got busted. Senior. Imagine calling your parents senior year. Oh, I can't wait. We're going to graduation. It's going to be so... Yeah, I've been expelled from school, Mom. Yeah, I was cheating. They got busted. They would have had that earpiece in all the time and, you know, and they just looked out of place. And that's when they found them out. When are people going to wake up and learn? I mean, maybe it's going to take something like this to wake these kids up. Look at what you did to that boy. I'm sure they're not graduating now. And I mean, my heart goes out to the family, man, because they were like, God was pulling into them, like, get out now, like, leave, like, don't do this. I mean, what's this world come to? Nathan had the smart enough sense when he was getting really bad to take him to the hospital. He's trying to do something. I've seen incidences personally myself where someone was ODing and, oh, we're going to get in trouble. And they didn't call the... Just so my listeners are clear out there, if you're anywhere and you see someone ODing or anything, you have, at least in the States, you can call, I need an ambulance here, I think someone's ODing, and you're not going to get in trouble. Oh, man, we're going to go to prison. No. You're going to have a guy die because you were stupid and you didn't call the authority and say, hey, what's up? This dude, we think's ODing. We need help. This is how crazy this world is. This New York Assemblywoman, Sloan Chow, aka Yang Yalin Nu, a Democrat in Lower Manhattan, who's a defund the policer, moved to a safer neighborhood after getting robbed. I need to move to a safer neighborhood because I was robbed. Well, you want to defund the police. Yeah, you don't support police, but when you get robbed, I'm going to move to a better neighborhood. You need to take away guns from good people. Oh, but I'll have like bodyguards protecting me with guns, but I mean, I'm against guns, but I'm going to walk around with these people that are like, talking about getting rid of the Second Amendment when they're standing there on stage with like 50 police officers and Secret Service and stuff fully loaded with guns. It's Sorry, folks. Not today, Satan. That's how retarded these people are. I wanted to find the police, but then when I'm robbed, I need to move to a safer neighborhood. Why don't you just... Must be nice. So like these people that want me to buy I can't afford gas now, but you want me to get an electric car that runs on... 95% of it runs on coal. Yeah, the coal is what it takes to produce. Yeah, but don't worry, because when 95% of the electricity that's produced to run electric cars is from coal, and when they eliminate coal, good luck. The cost to power a vehicle is going to go through the roof. You think? Oh, I use a free charging station. It's free. Well, who paid for it? Who put it in? Just wait till it gets to the point to where they can't afford that, and then you have to pay. And that charging meter becomes like a parking meter. You have to put in like $20, and chink, you get 10 minutes of charge. Just wait. So like taxes. All they want is a penny tax. All they want is just a penny tax. Because if they accept a penny, then before you know it, don't you want to have great roads? Well, that's $10. Well, no, you want exceptional roads. And then before you know it, you don't get a paycheck. You get a bill. Yeah, you didn't make enough in your paycheck to pay all the taxes, so here's your bill. How am I supposed to pay a bill when I don't even get a check because you take more out in taxes than I make in income? Don't worry, folks. It's like when you get people that like, let's get rid of the penny and round up. Are you stupid? Why don't we make everything like ending in 4 or 9? So it's like 349 or 344, that way we round down to 340, you know, we got to round up. Yeah. Colonel Harlan J. Sanders realized when he got like a percent, like how much he got, like a nickel or something off of every chicken he sold, how these stores make money, because it's only like 10 cents or whatever he was getting off of every chicken, but how much money he was making because he was selling crap loads. It made maybe 25 cents, but if you do 100,000 transactions at 25 cents every hour, every day, all the time, that starts to add up to a lot of money. Round down, that's going to say, oh, no, we need to round up. Well, I'll give my whole paycheck so everyone can have health care. You can have all my money. That's what's wrong with this nation. I want to defund the police, but then when I'm robbed, I need to move to a better neighborhood. Then, see, they need to have, I need to make sure, I might try to find out what police district she's in. Like, okay, like if this lady was to call the police, who would actually come to her aid? And since she wants to defund the police or doesn't support the police, then I want to make sure, I'm going to do this. I want to make sure that she's not being taken care of. So if she's going to get robbed, I would not, if I was the police, I would not lift one finger. I wouldn't lift anything. I wouldn't even breathe to help her. If she wants to defund the police, then she doesn't get any, no. Bull crap, if she gets robbed, let her get robbed. Let her get mugged, raped, or whatever. Because why would I, as a police officer, want to help someone that doesn't want me, that wants to defund me, get rid of me? I demand, and that's one thing I want to try to get a petition going, that if you are for the defund the police movement, then you should not be garnered police protection. If you're getting robbed, whatever, okay, you're getting raped, that's your problem. You don't want the police. Sorry, we're not coming. Bullcrap. Why should I help someone that doesn't want to be helped? I'm just doing them you want to defund the police, which means you don't support them, so hey. So See, no one cares, Whoopi Goldberg or Joy Behar, about this insurrection bullcrap, this January. No one cares. Listen, 10% of this nation cares about this stupid insurrection trial. Yeah, people in there sleeping. I'm trying to wonder, how am I paying my bills? How am I putting food on the table? I went to go to Walmart the other day, and I was going to get me some multi-meal cereal. It's like the generic kind. $5. Nope. And I guess I should have bought it because they had it. Because next time I go, they may not have it. I may have to pay $20 for a package of bacon. I might as well buy it while I still can get it before it's not around anymore. I'm complaining about food prices, but hey, I might as well get it while I can. Because there might come a day that I might not be able to get anything. I've been watching a couple of videos on YouTube where these people are taking photos and they're asking, like, where are you from and what are your shortages? And they're trying to get the word out. And I'm like, okay, like, paper plates, detergent are starting to, like, he went into Aldi's and he goes, I know how they stack stuff at Aldi's. And he said, I've seen stuff spread out and you can tell that if you really look at the stickers, this is, like, where this, okay, here's where the marshmallows should be. But they've spread them out so that the marshmallows are covering, so it looks like there's not empty spots. They're trying to, and some stores, they can't even do it. Like, storage containers, they've shown, like, spots where there's, like, nothing. It's getting nuts. A lot of people I know are just buying stuff in advance that will last 4 or 5 years. Why? Because they know they've got it. They know that it's not going to go bad because this is going to be $10. There's a federal government website that's actually said that they expect to pay $12 for a dozen of eggs. And the cost of planting seed and fertilizer and all that stuff's gone up 300%. Trust me, that's coming from the horse's mouth. I'll put you in touch with 20 people that are farming that I know personally, myself. That'll tell you that, but don't worry. That's just a conspiracy theory. Don't worry, whatever. Just wait until the food costs go up because of that 300% increase in fertilizer and all that stuff. Folks, I'm not trying to be a negative Nancy Debbie Downer. I'm Noah right now. Noah didn't try to pray away the flood. God said, build the ark. Here's the instructions. This is what you're supposed to do. Get two of each animal, put them on the ark. Did he know? Oh, no, that's not going to happen. There's going to be no flood. I'm saying there's going to be a flood. Prepare. God doesn't say the fire won't come, but when it comes, you'll be able to withstand it. I'm not saying I don't trust in God. I believe he's going to take us through a storm. We need to be trusting in him, prepare him to get us through it. And we need to prepare. Quit having these $5 billion immaculate lawns. If everyone just took time and grew their own vegetables, there you go. And you share, okay? I'm going these three kind, you go those three kind, and we'll share with each other. And I'm like, okay, in August, let's get together. And we'll have a huge cannon party. And we all can. Because so many people think, well, it takes a lot to do canning. You know, my friends that do it, they get together with like 5 or 6 people. Okay, you do this part. You prepare the veggies to be canned. You put them in the can. You do. Everyone has a job. It's not one person trying to do every single solitary thing and can everything. You have a bunch of people. That takes all day, but they all pitch in. It's not one person trying to do it at all. We're trying to figure out how to put gas in our car, how to put food in our tanks, a.k.a. the good old-fashioned pot belly. And all they're worried about is this insurrection. Hey, folks, I'm Nancy Pelosi, and this January 6th to me is going to get to the end of this, and we're going to find out, because those people, we're going to investigate. I mean, I know Trump offered Secret Service, like National Guard, but I turned it down, but that's not an excuse. Because I know it's not an excuse. Because, see, I'm Nancy Pelosi, and I know. Because I know because I think corruption in practice, but I know. The American people, they care about this insurrection. That's the number one priority. I know everything. I'm not so close, but I just want people to know that this insurrection is not going to stop. This inflation is not a big deal. Gas prices, the grocery stores, that's not a big deal. I know it's not, because I get whatever I want to, because I'm an person. I don't pay for anything. But, are you freaking kidding me? So you hear all these elitists talking about January 6th. No one cares. No one cares. Can I afford food? I don't know. We'll find out. Can Robin afford to eat something? Can I afford to eat something? Who knows? Stuff that I wouldn't pay $2 for, now it's like $6. So that's not a big deal. Okay, the Washington Post. They don't care. I'm Joe Biden, and we're going to build back better because the economy's the best it's ever been. And I know because I built it back better. You can't make this crap up. These people saying the economy is doing so great and wonderful. How anyone can think that like Putin's, that like Russia's responsible for any price hike of any kind, except for like fertilizer and wheat and stuff like that comes from Russia and Ukraine and all that stuff. But don't worry, folks. It's okay. Because when we talk about the significance of the passage of time, we have to talk about the passage of time and the significance of the passage of time and how the passage of time is significant in the significance of the passage of time. Because, you know, if we have a vice president who understands the significance of the passage of time and the significance of the time that has passed and the significance of the passage of time, because she makes no sense. I mean, I want someone to explain that to me. Because, I mean, that's almost as bad as having ABCDEFG for a phone number for a reading program. Are you kidding me right now? Yes, I want to learn how to read, but I can't figure out the phone number. I mean, that is the biggest insight in our solar system. Having a reading program where the phone number isn't like 1, 2, 3, 4. I should have saw that coming in the 1980s when they had a reading program hooked on phonics. Call right now, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. The phone number is A, B, C, my way. I should have known from there they'd be going to Tide Pods and whatever else, you know. Gain laundry detergent martinis and Tide Pods. Oh, Lord. A Tide Pod tapas bar with Gain laundry detergent martinis. I mean, you used to have to go to a thing called the National Enquirer. If you wanted to hear BS, you used to have to go to National. What would have been like made fun of? What you would have read on like a National Enquirer that would have been like a fake story? That would be reality. That'd be like, no, that's real. That's reality. That's right, folks. It's reality. Yeah, that's right. Yes, it is. Sad. Something that would have been on like a fake newspaper called the Globe or the National Enquirer. Now that's like reality. Jeez, remember the Onion? That like joke newspaper? And now that thing is like, that thing makes like CNN look honest. Oh man, CNN makes the Onion look honest. Dang. You know, back in the day, you would have been like, oh, that was funny. Oh, the Onion, that's a great, okay. Now it's what's the real news. Find out what's really going on. I'll tell you what, folks. You can't make it up. The whole world's coming to an end. Don't worry, folks. As the grocery store shelves empty, and food prices go through the roof and everything, don't worry, folks. We're going to get to the bottom of that insurrection that no one cares about. All the while, Shifty Shift is allowing Stephen Colbert's people to come in to the Capitol. Now, don't worry, folks. You got all these Democrats. You got all these, and I call them Democrats, but they're basically, they got none for their name. Well, we compromised on gun control because we... Why don't we just eliminate guns, period, to where the Secret Service can't have guns, police can't have guns, no one can have, military can't have weapons. Yeah, you're gonna parole Afghanistan without weapons. Good luck. Oh yeah, that $300 trillion for the guns or whatever. Yep, don't worry, folks. What's this world coming to? I don't understand. Lord. People don't... The things that matter to Americans don't matter to the Democrats. I don't care. Nancy Pelosi's always going to have money. She's going to do whatever she wants to. You have a choice in this nation. Two barbershops. One where everyone is fully armed and deadly force will be used if you try to do anything to harm. I'm against guns. Why don't you... I hate to say this, and it's sad to say this, but I'd rather have signs on every door that all the teachers are fully armed, deadly force will be used if you try to harm any children. Ex-Marines, right inside the front door, don't try anything. Nope. They don't, all these people that don't want to have guns in schools to protect the kids, you know. Oh. Then when a kid gets shot up, oh. Oh, can't believe it. I can't believe it. And then you get these idiots that are like pro-abortion. But then they, oh, so I think a woman should be able to slaughter a baby all day long. Give me that coat hanger. I'm going to kill that kid. Yeah, just jam it up in there and kill him. Scramble his brain and throw him right out. Excuse my French. But then they're outraged about a school shooting. How in the heck can... I'm going to have someone explain how you can support killing babies in the womb, but you're outraged by a school shooting. I want to explain that to me. How is that possible? How can you support murdering a kid, but not a child? Oh, a baby is okay to murder a baby, because I've seen people that literally are that way. They're pro-abortion, but then, let me tell you something. I will defend anyone that puts a gun before a kid. I do. I said, well, then you better be against abortions because you can't be pro-abortion and against school killings. It's kind of like saying, oh, if I kill someone by running them over with my car, oopsies, that's okay. You know, automobile deaths are fine, but, you know, gun killings are not, you know. So like Black Lives Matter, where if it's a black on black death, they don't care about it. But if it's a white guy killing a black guy, then they care. Kind of like wiping before you poop, it don't make sense. But that's what's going on in this world. You have these stupid idiots. I'm going to defend anyone that would put a gun over a child. I would. If you had a gun over a child, then you wouldn't have that problem because you would have had that place fully armed. If every teacher was trained and fully armed and loaded and there were signs all over saying that deadly force will be used on anyone that tries to harm these kids, and if a guy comes in trying to shoot and the teacher pulls out a .357 Magnum or a Glock 911, let me tell you something. I'm going to try to find a place that has, we don't want guns in here, because that's the place I'm going to try to rob. Who's going to stop me? I don't have to worry about anyone stopping me because no one's got a gun. If I go into a store where all the all the staff is fully armed and loaded, who's gonna rob that place? Sir, we know you stole stuff. Take it out of your pocket or you're getting blown away. Yes, folks. This world would be safer if we allowed more guns and gave them to the right people. I don't advocate violence. No, I don't. But let me tell you something. If someone's going to come into a store and start shooting up, what do you want to have? If a guy goes into a mall with a gun that he got illegally, that he's going to get no matter what, what do you want? You want to have no one with a gun to try to stop him? Or do you want to have, like, potentially 20 people fully armed and trained to take him out? I would take the latter. Someone that's got fully armed, like 20 people fully armed, ready to take the guy out instead of a ton of defenseless people. Remember, folks, cocaine, I bet you there's probably been at least 100,000 kilos of cocaine in America since the day they made it illegal, if not more. Same thing, marijuana has been in this country every day since it was made illegal with the Marijuana Stamp Tax Act. Methamphetamine, it's rampant in this country, but it's illegal. You know, opium, you name it, acid, anything you want, it's available. But don't worry, folks, it's okay. We gotta control the cocaine problem. Make it illegal. You know, then stop it. Cartels want drugs made illegal. That way they can deal with it. They want to have guns banned so that they can deal with it. You think a gang's not going to get a gun? But do you think a law-abiding citizen like me is just going to hand over my gun? I don't think so. Yeah, the government will have my guns when I'm dead. Remember, folks, a church burnt down in Texas 100%. The only thing standing is a cross, a charred cross. That there's nothing hardly, that thing is decimated. Sort of like that Michael Waltrip, I don't know if you remember that Bristol wreck where, like, and there was one time where they did a spoof of the commercial. But the commercial for Talladega, I think it was, or no, it was like Daytona, one of those. And this guy takes and has this model race car, Michael Waltrip's, in like a million pieces, dumps it out. Yeah, that's your Bristol car, wanting them to sign it. Because when that car was done, how anyone survived, like an inch by an inch was the biggest piece of debris left. There was, I mean, that thing was in a million, it was, I don't know how, he lived. I mean, this church was decimated. All that's standing is a cross. And you know what that says to me? And I talked about it on my Conversation Revival a couple times. Church isn't a building. You know, so many people go to church. Yeah, there's revival, and it's spreading, and it's lasting all week. Some people, it's like, they get filled with, oh, I'm at church, you know. Every praise is to our God. Glory, hallelujah, is to our God. Every praise. As soon as they leave church, I'll see you Thursday for Bible study, okay? I'll see you next Sunday, and that's it. They don't walk it out. Some dude was talking about stuff going on, and my wife said, can I pray for you? You're like the fifth person or whatever, sixth person that wants me to, Luis Cruz, pray for me. Maybe that's God telling you something. All that's left, all that's standing is a charred cross. That speaks volumes. To me, that's like, you need to get right with God. It's not about a building. When did the building become more important than God? Just because you're not in church doesn't mean you can't read the word. Can't mean you can't get into the. You can't minister to my wife or to Robin or to anybody. If you see someone that looks like they need prayer, pray for them. If someone looks like they're hungry, offer to get them food. If you have to pull over in your state and let an ambulance go by, when you pull over, take a second and pray for them. Usually, you know, my wife don't like when I pray before the meal because, like, yeah, I want to eat. I don't want to hear a sermon, okay? You want me to say grace? Yes, grace, not a sermon, okay? I want to eat. I'm hungry. Okay. Sorry, before the meal when I pray, I have a sermon. But, you know, I mean, that cross speaks volumes. I've been looking at that cross all day long, man. It's like, wow. Like I just feel like the Lord's saying, like, I'm here. I'm here. The building means nothing. I'm everything. And that's what I get from that right there. The Lord's saying, like, you don't need I'm more important than any building. You know, we have these churches now that have, like, they're like three-ring circuses. Hello, folks. Let's get ready to worship. And like a guy comes through the floor, jumps up, and smokes. When did the church become more important than our Lord and Savior? No one's perfect. That's another misconception. I hate when people, like, they try to point out, well, yeah, good. I'm not perfect. I'm never going to claim I am. Jesus is the only perfect person. But that photo has been, like, it's been working on me. Because we had missionaries in my church. I was talking to this guy, and I said, you know what? When did the church become more important than God, you know? And that photo just keeps, the Lord just keeps telling me, man, just keep doing what you're doing, man. This church is more important than God. No, God is more important than the church. And that photo just speaks volumes to me. Like, there you go. But there you go. You know, that looks a good thing, man. Just remember that, folks. You don't have to be in church to be a witness or to get into the spirit, man. Nothing, like I've said before, my pastor really lost his job, and he's like, he just felt led to praise, man. My wife got, like, this. She's got this, I got to go to the Hobby Lobby. I don't know what's up, but she got to go there. And do something's going to happen with Hobby Lobby. May not be today or whenever we went on the one time, but she just felt led to go. So thank you so much for tuning in to the conversation. I really hope you feel a part of it, and I really hope you do. Hello?
Hey, this is Joe. How you doing?
What's up, brother?
You know what? I had a good time yesterday. I grilled a potential politician. And the hostess allowed me to do it the way that I wanted to do. And he knew that I was going to interrogate him like I was a district attorney and he was in the witness chair. And it was fun, you know? So,
yeah.
I would recommend that if people can get the opportunity, either on blog, on talk radio shows or in person, try to get a sit down with a politician and just don't ask him what he's going to do. Outline something for him to do that he should do and say, are you going to do this in a day, the first week you're in office? When? For example, I don't like corruption. I think corruption is the major problem that we're facing today. So I've said to a couple of politicians on the air, I said, you don't like corruption, I don't like corruption. But when you get in there, what are you going to do? They don't have a plan. I said, well, how about this? Like one person, two people, in fact, who are running for governors, one for Oregon, one for Arizona. And I recommended to the one who's running for Arizona, appoint an AG, the attorney general, to go after corrupt election fraud. He already had that on his mind. That was part of his written platform. So that guy, to me, is somebody that I would really seriously consider, you know. And then the first day, the first week, he would do something like that. So that's what I would recommend, because otherwise most people go, oh, you look at what you've done. You've been a good dentist, a good doctor, a good lawyer, a good engineer. You've been in, been an advocate. But that doesn't mean shit, because once they get into office, they're always open to bribes. It seems like every politician is either open to a bribe or to some sort of extortion. But if you impose a deadline on a politician to do something in the first week when he has the power to do so, and he doesn't do it, I also recommend asking the politician if he would mind having a recall feature so that if he doesn't do what he says he's going to do, that the constituents can recall him. So that, to me, is a decent way of vetting a politician, because that means he's got skin in the game. You know, if he doesn't do what he says he's going to do right away, get rid of him. Don't wait 4 years. Don't wait 6 years. Get rid of him now.
Yeah. I agree. Because that's the thing. Like, I've actually talked to some of mine, and I'm like, I want to know what's going to actually – is something actually going to be done? I hear so much talk. What are you doing on day one? What are you going to do? I'm tired of this, like, well, we're just going to – like, for the longest time, I feel like they don't want to do anything because then – okay, well, if you would have done the border wall correctly like 20 years ago, then you can just say, okay, hey, we built the border wall, we got it up, it's going great, and I'm going to help maintain it, make sure it's even better. I'm going to improve it. Instead of this, like, well, they don't do anything, so they can always say they have something to do. Why don't you tell me what you're going to do to fix the problem we have with the VA, and what are you going to do to make sure that that stays permanent? I'm tired of hearing of people going to the VA and they kill themselves because they can never get an appointment. They can never get help.
Absolutely. You have to make them give you a plan. Always, these politicians are always talking about what we have to do, what we need to do. I hear that from every goddamn politician. I don't want to hear it. I know what we have to do. I know what we need to do. But what is your boots on the ground plan? What's your elbow grease? What is it that you plan to do? What are the steps, specific steps? And if they can't answer, if they start tap dancing around it, then you know that you got a guy who's going to take money from the lobbyists.
Yep. Exactly. And we've had, like where I live in Indiana, we've had some people that have tried to, I'm very independent, very libertarian, very constitutional, conservative type person, and I've been blacklisted. They're doing everything to try to not get me on the ballot because they know I'm not going to, they have a party line, and if you're not going to toe this party line, I say, well, then you need to do this for me. Then you need to sit there and you need to do whatever you have to get your butt elected. And then once you get in there, then you toe a conservative line saying, hey, I'm going to be like a Trumper. I'm not going to bow down to these communist lobbyists. I'm not going to do this. Sorry, folks. I want to have, thank God, in Indiana now we have constitutional carry. You don't need a permit. You know, I want to see someone that's going to stand up for my rights. For smaller government, less taxes.
Oh, yeah, and they say they'll do it. Sure.
Yeah. And if you're, and if, because I've talked to a couple that said, hey, I can't, because in my home state, I truly believe Donald Rainwater won the election, not the communist Holcomb. But, you know, I mean, yeah. But prove it. You know, I've done the research and stuff, and it just, 2 and 2 don't add up to equal 4. I mean, every poll they had going out had him tying with Holcomb, if not beating him. And then it just, like a lot of some of these races, because in my home city, my home county, this is in 2016 and 18, they had people that were going to the voting machine, and when they had hit, they would try to vote for the Republican, it would flip it to the Democrat.
Yeah, that's happened. Oh, yeah.
And then they shut the machine off, and when they rebooted, they said, it fixed the glitch. I'm like, yeah, the glitch is probably that it was shown on the screen, and I bet you $100 that when
right.
you selected the Republican, it flipped it to the Democrat, and you didn't see it.
Yeah, exactly. And I forgot. Another thing I've done, like what I did with this guy last night, and I did with another politician that I had interrogated a couple of weeks ago. Because if they're a senator, they're only one spoke in the in the wheel. But then I said to this guy, look, your first day or your first week there, you're against corruption. Will you go around to your other, because he's a Republican, and I said, will you go around to the other 50 representatives in your state and ask them to sponsor a bill or be with you on a bill to investigate election fraud and investigate corruption that the FBI uncovers? And he says, yes, I'd be willing to do it. Then I said, if you do that, if you go around to all the 50, will you expose those who say no? He says, yes. I said, okay, so you expose them in a newsletter or a press conference? He says, I would. So to me, that's skin in the game. So that means, let's say, in about a month, 2 months after anybody's in the office, if a constituent doesn't hear how he's exposing the other Republicans and the other Democrats, you know you voted for a liar. Get him out.
Yep. Exactly.
This is the way I think that people should vet. Otherwise, you know what happens, Kyle? Everybody keeps voting for the guy with the bushiest hair and the chick with the prettiest face. That's not the
yep.
way you put a politician in there.
Yep. Oh, yeah. And that's what, like, I've told a bunch of people in my area. I'm like, just look at some of these. We've had some candidates that were not a Republican or Democrat that tried to come in and do something, and they were instantly shot down. I said, you need to question who shot them down. Who tried to keep them from getting on the ballot? Who tried to
exactly.
keep these people and vote them the heck out of here? Look at their record. Find out. There are websites where you can go in your county to find out, okay, you live in this district. These are who, look up the judges. Don't tell
mm-hmm.
me that when you went to go to, if you have to while you're at the voting thing, get on your phone and look up the judge and see what they voted for, what they've actually, okay, if there was fraud in this, did they prosecute? What have they done? Is he just someone that's just going to toe a liberal line that, okay, we had illegals that killed people, and he just let them go, you know?
Yeah, you got to vet the people. Oh, yeah. That I'm glad you reminded me. Another suggestion I made, and this guy, he wasn't really for it, but he was kind of turning my way. I asked, once you got elected, or if you got elected, would you be willing to take a polygraph or some sort of lie detector test once or twice a year? He didn't really want to do it because he said that it would be, against his Fifth Amendment rights, against due process, And he said, well, when you vote somebody in, that's vetting them. That means that they're supposed to do the job. I say, yeah, but if a guy's got 4 years or 6 years, I don't want to wait 4 years or 6 years or 2 years to get somebody out of there. I want them out now if they don't do the campaign promises. Yeah, you got to look up the judges, like you say, find out, did they release illegals? Did they release people on no cash bail? Stuff like this.
Yeah.
Got to get rid of them.
And that's the thing, because I've had so many people, I just didn't know, I just guessed. I didn't know, then don't guess. You can get on your phone and take a couple, or try to find out ahead of time what judges are up for election. Who can you vote for? And try to find, because I remember this has been years ago where I'm like, okay, when I started to do that heavily was when all these campaign ads came up and I couldn't vote for any of the campaign ads I saw. I couldn't. So I'm like, well, then if the people I can vote for, I didn't see one campaign ad for, I don't know anything about them, I need to start doing my due diligence. And that was maybe 15 years ago, and I started doing research. And if he didn't do what he said he was going to do, bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to put their toes to the fire, and you got to do it in such a way that can let them know that the constituents will get rid of you. You know, I don't care how much lobbyist money you get. You will be gone if you don't fulfill your campaign promises, and you'll have no more lobbyist money coming in. But American people, we're just very, very complacent.
Yeah. And that's, but then I have like a lot of the people that like, you can show them the truth and they still won't believe you. And it's like, dude, this guy is no good. You need, well, no, he's a, dude, he's a Democrat. And granted, he claims to be a Republican. He's just a Democrat. Sorry, folks. You need to get rid of him. And they don't listen.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, yeah, I predict, you know, Trump supported 25 Republicans. 24 of them got into office. I'm hearing your wife.
Yeah. Yeah, she just walked in. So.
Oh, okay. Of the 24 Republicans that got elected as a result of Trump supporting them, I predict that 12 of them at least are going to turn out to be rhinos.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. And that's why some of the Republicans, I'm like, oh, I'm going to try to do my best to vet, but I guarantee it'll turn out to be a rhino.
Sure. You know, because they'll make all these promises again, like what we have to do, what we need to do. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear my plan is when I get into office, I'm going to select these particular people to investigate this particular issue of election fraud and of ordinary fraud.
Yeah. So
that's what I want to hear.
Yep. Well, I got about 30 seconds left, but I want to thank you so much for calling the green.
Sure.
I'll talk to you later, man.
Take it easy.
All right.
All right.
You too. Bye-bye. I want to thank Joe for calling in again, man. That's what you got to do. You got to do your best to vet people and try to find the good candidates versus the bad ones. And remember, folks, don't forget this. With the firm alliance and the protection of divine providence, we mutually put to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Until next week, good night, and God bless you all. Goodbye.